You know, Charles Simeon said this, and this is me saying this to you about what I'm about to do. Charles Simeon said, my endeavor is to bring out of Scripture what is there and not to thrust in what I think might be there.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday. It's great to have you joining us today, and once again, we welcome you. Let's get right into the study today and join Pastor Bill for part two of the message, How to Live in Latter Times, as the study from 1 Timothy continues.
The body of Christ suffers when believers don't step out and learn the gift. In other words, learn what their calling is. Does that make sense? The body suffers from it. It would be no different if my left lung, if it stopped working right now, would I suffer? You better believe I would. Well, the same thing happens in the body of Christ. You have one, at least one spiritual gift. And then he says in verse 15, he says, now meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all, lost people, saved people, to the false teachers, everyone. He says, meditate on God's Word. Do you meditate on God's Word? Boy, that's so important, loved one. Listen, meditating on God's Word. And meditating on God's Word is not reading your daily devotional. You know what I'm saying? That's not it. They said, well, okay, I've read. No, that's not meditating. That's reading. Meditating upon the Scripture, chewing it up, digesting it, going over it and over it and over it in your heart. Oh, man. Listen, do you know I know a person who had memorized the entire book of Hebrews? Can you believe that? The entire book of Hebrews. Man, what a challenge that is. And so it's meditating on the Word of God. And then he says, not only that, he says, give yourself entirely to them. Be absorbed in them. Throw yourself into the ministry that God has called you. Use the gifting that God has given you. Why? They were departing from the faith in Ephesus, and they are departing today. Amen? It's so important that turning to myths and fables instead of the true gospel of God. And then that word progress. I love that word. It's only used here in Philippians, I think 1:12, verse 26, right in Philippians someplace. And it literally means a group of people, a person, who goes before like a king or an army, and you are like a woodcutter, and you clear the forest, you clear the road, you make it smooth and level so the others can advance behind you. What was Paul telling Timothy? He says, Timothy, you gotta get that place leveled out again. You gotta get it back in shape. You've got to make a path all the way clear. You've got to get rid of these false teachers and get this church back on the level Word of God again. You have to blaze a trail, if you will. Does that make sense? And he says, when you do that, your progress, how God is using you, everyone is going to know about that. Rebuild, Timothy, what was lost. Now listen to me. Spiritual progress. We never stop growing. Never. I had a person tell me the other day, said, you know, after all these years, you know, you don't probably even strive over a sermon or anything. You just do it, you know, it's automatic. I said, no. I said, it's harder today than it was when I was young because it seems like there's a greater demand. But here's the thing, progress. I never stop growing. Christians never stop growing. Pastors never stop growing. If you have stopped growing, you are going backwards. You have to keep going forward. Listen, the Bible tells us that we're being transformed into the same image of our Lord in Christ's likeness. And we're going from glory to glory to glory. Amen? Year after year after year. And if you're not going from glory to glory, your progress has stopped and now you're stuck in glory someplace. We don't want to be there, loved one. And then he says here in verse 16, he says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them, for in doing so, you will save yourself and those who hear you. Let me read that again. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. He's saying, Timothy, listen, pay close attention to your life. Be a man of discernment. And not only that, to your doctrine, to the teaching, what you tell the people. So you be careful about that. And he says, continue in them. That means to persist and stick to it and so forth. He says, take heed. I love what J. Vernon McGee said about that word, take heed, in this scripture. J. Vernon said this. He says, God have mercy on the minister who is not giving out the word of God. What a word. This is what we teach. You know why we teach this? We teach the whole counsel of God in the Calvaries. Amen? From Genesis to Revelation, if you're lucky, you might even be taught the maps at the back. You know? No, it's very important. Every Christian in the day that we're living in, these latter days, these last times, the last hour, Jesus could come any moment. Loved one, listen, you must know what you believe, and you must know why you believe it. And you have to stand on it with all of your heart. Someone said this, every Christian, every pastor should sit humbly under the authority of the Scriptures instead of standing in judgment of them. Every Christian is a servant of the Scriptures. What a great word. Paul says, look at it, for in doing this, doing what? Teaching God's Word. And look what he says, you will save both yourself, Timothy, and those who hear you. What does that mean? Does that mean that Timothy wasn't saved? No. It's not talking about salvation at all. Timothy was born again. To know your text, always read the context. What are we being saved from? What was Timothy being saved from? Those that were hearing him preach, what were they being saved from? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what we have to do today. We have the answer on how to do that. Now, listen very carefully. This is all I wanted to, of course, expound upon that, but this is what I wanted to tell you this morning. I want to make some very important observations from these 16 verses because they are vital and they're very, very important. They're in chapter 4. Loved one, now listen. Why? We have to ask ourselves, why do some depart from the faith then and today? Well, we know the answer. Because they were taking heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, okay? And myths and fables and all the rest of it. But there's more to it than that. You know, Charles Simeon said this, and this is me saying this to you about what I'm about to do. Charles Simeon said, my endeavor is to bring out of Scripture what is there, and not to thrust in what I think might be there. And I don't want to do that. That's why these observations, I believe with all of my heart, are vital to share with you. And the first one is this. The first observation is from verse 10. Paul says, for we both do something. We're laboring, we're toiling, we're agonizing, we're striving. Those are all athletic metaphors. In other words, toward godliness. And because they did that, look what it says in verse 10, that both of them suffer reproach. That's a key word. That is a very key word. And to understand what I'm about to tell you, we have to go back and look at Ephesus and Rome and at the time frame historically. It says suffer reproach. How were they suffering? It says they were trusting in the living God. Amen? But here's what happened. Nero, the persecution had already started, and it was dangerous to be an elder, dangerous to be a deacon. It was a pastor. It was dangerous to be a Christian. Do you understand? And there was all kinds of suffering that was spreading all over that area of the world. Matter of fact, it's only a few years. Jerusalem is going to be leveled. A million Jews are going to die. Titus is going to invade. It's all over with. Everything's being shaken, if you will. And of course, false teaching now was at Ephesus. So he says, listen, suffer reproach. But then I want you to look at the next observation, same verse, where he says that we trust, hope in the living God, the living God, who is the what? Savior of how many people? All people. Savior of all men. Now listen very carefully. What's interesting in that day and that time is this. The word Savior is from the Greek is the same word that Nero, Emperor Nero, he chose for himself. Nero said, I am the Savior. The. I'm the only one. I am God. I'm the only one. So Paul put that there for, I know, that very reason. Because of all that they were going through, there was only one Savior. Amen? And so that observation. The third observation comes from verse 12 that I said I would come back to when Paul told Timothy, be an example, Timothy, in faith. What does that mean? Not talking about being saved. It's talking about what? Believing God's Word. Trusting God's Word. Obeying God's Word, knowing that God's Word is true, that His promises are true, that you can build your life on the promises of God. Amen? That's what that word faith means. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:17, it's no different then than now, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is, not tomorrow, right this minute, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. Now, listen carefully. Why do some believers then and today, why do they follow strange doctrines and depart from the Lord? It's no different then than today. You know why? They were hurting. Do you understand? Persecution was coming and trouble is coming. And you know what? Whenever things like that happen, do you think they said, here we are in Ephesus, we're Christians, and God, where are you? Are you listening to me? Do you know how easy it is for believers today, as it was then, that if they're going through hell? I mean, they'll and somebody gets on Christian TV or some book comes out, it's a Christian book, and I have the answer for what your child or whatever's going through. Do you understand? Or I have this, you take this diet and you'll be healed. Are y'all listening to me? And how you turn to that. You know, when I was on the board at Cook's Children's Hospital, you know, when you see a parent, and we worked on the second floor, that's where all the children were, they were dying. Those parents, I'll never forget what Ann told me, Ann Miller, she was the head of all that there. She said, Bill, you have to be careful when you pray with these families and what you tell them. I said, well, why, Ann? Why is that? She said, because they're broken. Their child is dying. It's killing them. And if you said, Bill, if you said, she's giving me an example, just tell them to worship that trash can and your son or little baby will be healed. They'll do it. Are you with me? Whenever people are desperate, they turn to fables if they don't know the Word of God. When people are hurting, they turn to myths. They'll turn to what daddy did or mama did or grandmother did or what happened here or there. They're hurting. When persecution comes and they take everything you have, you'll say, and somebody says, I have a better solution. I have another way, and it contradicts the Word of God. What are you going to do? We are there right now. Listen to me. We must have faith in good times, and we must have faith in horrible times when everything is crumbling, when everything is falling apart. The Bible proves it. Listen, you know that people believe when all hell comes into your life and this happens and this, God just doesn't love me. He just doesn't care. That's a lie. Hebrews 11:32. What more shall I say? Oh, but the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Here it comes. Who through faith, the faith that I'm, that Timothy, that one word there, be an example in faith, Timothy. He says, oh, through faith, listen to what they did, subdued kingdoms. Oh, they worked righteousness, obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel. They quenched the violence of the fire. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or somebody heard, I heard him say the other day, that's my shack, your shack, or a bungalow, you know. I stole that from Edward Lutzer, by the way. He always has those great, you know. Oh, yeah, guy's good. He said, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong, all because of faith. They became valiant in battle. Turned back the armies. Women even received their dead, raised to life again. That's great, isn't it? We all want to live there, don't we? Did they have faith? It says through faith they did all these things. They believed in the living Word of God, and God honored them. But then there were others. They were tortured. It says others had trials of mockings, scourgings, yes, chains, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted. They were tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Here it comes. And all these, all those that lived and hurt and were wounded and beat down and suffered, he says, all these having obtained a good witness through faith did not receive the promise, but yet they believed. Listen to me, both of those groups, they had faith that pleased God. And that's what this church, we must have today. That's how you live in latter times. Paul the Apostle writes, he says in Romans 8:31, he says, oh, what are we going to say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If he didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Here it comes. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is it condemns? It's Christ who died, furthermore is risen, even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Oh, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, what things? The things I just read, tribulation, distress, nakedness, peril, sword, famine, all these things, we are present tense. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Listen, all these things, that is where faith is found or not found. A Christian must know what you believe and why you believe it and act upon what you believe. Listen to me. You must believe that scripture. Did you know that you are more than conquerors right this minute? That is your unchangeable, eternal position in Christ Jesus our Lord. On the darkest moment of your life, the darkest day, you're a victor. 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God our Father, who always leads us in victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Always, wherever he leads you, it is always in victory. I read of a man who was a missionary, and the people, this separate group who hates God and hates Christians, captured him. They made him dig his own grave, and then they let him get in it and they killed him. He died in victory. He died in victory. Do you understand? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, in Romans 8:38, listen, he says, I'm persuaded. I love that word because it's a heart word. I'm convinced. I believe it. I stand convinced that neither death or life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, high death, any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me read verse 35 again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? These cannot separate us, but believing deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons can. And that's why this is so important in the day that we are living in. If you do not know your Bible and want to know your Bible and apply that to your life when you're hurting and say, God said it. Yes, he didn't say you're not going to hurt. He didn't say you're not going to go through hell. He didn't say that, you know, that Christianity is a rose garden. He didn't say that. We're going to have tribulation in this life. We are going to be persecuted in this life. But we've overcome this world, and we're not of this world. Amen? No, listen, you have to know what you believe. You have to know the Word of God, and you have to study the Word of God. You remember the parable of the sower. Remember the sower, the Word of God is considered seed, and the soil is considered the heart. And he says in Luke 8:13, he says, but the ones on the rock, meaning the seed was cast out on the rock, talking about a hard heart. He says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, when they hear the living Word of God, when they hear the good news, when they hear that Jesus loves them, it says, oh, they hear, they welcome it, or they receive it, and they do so, it says, Jesus said, with joy. But he says, they don't have a root. They have no root, and they believe for a while. That's almost a condition of the church. They believe for a while. That could be 5 years, 10 years. They believe for a while, but in time of trials, in times of testing, Matthew's gospel says, in times of tribulation and persecution, whenever they arise because of the word's sake, as it does in Luke, immediately they fall away. Immediately they depart. They run away and say, no, this I can't. I thought God loved me. I thought everything was going to be okay. I mean, well, this doesn't make sense, all the things that I'm going through. There's going to be seasons of testing. People depart. Did you know that? They have joy for a little bit, but it was only emotion. It didn't change the heart, evidently. I don't know. You know, they understood that salvation, yes, it's a free gift. Thank God it is. But there's a cost to follow Jesus. There's a cost to follow Jesus. We have to take up our cross daily. Amen. We have to deny ourselves. We have to follow Him if we belong to Him. Oh, listen. The church has entered into a season, especially this church, 2022 through 2024. The New Year's message, remember, it was revolution. We need to all be a part of that revolution in the days that we are living in. Remember how I closed? You probably don't, but let me remind you how I closed the New Year's message. I said this. I said, will you join the revolution? If not, what will you do when the American dream turns into the American nightmare? And it's already happened. It's already happened right before our eyes. We've had over, listen, if we just talk about just one thing, 200 mass shootings already this year. Do you know how many mass shootings we've had since Uvalde? Over 20 in our nation. It's crazy. It's crazy. Tony Evans, I read what he said. He said, God has lifted His hand. Judgment has come. Well, you know what? Judgment ought to come on the rest of the nations too. But there's something that's happening in our nation, and I don't know. And all I know is this, I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen? Listen to me. Don't look for normal anymore, because normal isn't coming back. Do you understand? It's not. Jesus is, but not normal. No, no, no. Listen, what are you going to do when everything falls apart? Do you not look to the one who never falls apart? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Do you understand? We belong to an unshakable kingdom, and we should be an unshakable people. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, I say, oh God, the church, we have to get back. All of us revolving around the head of the church, because the church today, Christians today, they are choking to death on the love of the world. Do you understand? I hear it all the time, you know, we got to pray for America. Listen to me. I'm a Christian first. Does that insult some of you? I'm a Christian first. I belong to the kingdom of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am a foreigner, and I walk on foreign soil. And all things are mine, and I'm a co-heir with Christ. And I love my nation, but I'm a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. You want to save America? You want to save this nation? You want to save America? Then the church needs to start saving Americans. Amen? That's what's needed. Instead of, let's save America. Are we saving what? We're to save a people, lost people. We have to get back to our Father's business. You understand? We have to do that, guys. That's how we live in the latter times.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill's series from 1 Timothy continues with the message, What's Worse Than an Unbeliever? And we hope you'll tune in once again. Thank you everyone for listening. Be blessed, and so long for today.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.